www.ntes.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Demay Roberts. KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Salem Progressive Film Series presentation of The Long and Twisted Tale of Jordan Cove LNG. This slideshow depicts part two of Barbara Bernstein's radio documentary series, Holding the Thin Green Line, which explores what is at stake in Southern Oregon if the Jordan Cove LNG export terminal and Pacific Connected Gas Pipeline get built. From July 27th to the 31st, this slideshow video can be viewed at your own convenience at holdingthethingreenline.org/Jordan Cove Slideshow. Then on July 31st from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m., we'll hold a live Q&A session with impacted landowners, community organizers, and land and water protectors who are featured in the documentary. Again, that's The Long and Twisted Tale of Jordan Cove LNG documentary slideshow screening, July 27th to the 31st, and a live on Zoom Q&A on July 31st. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Andy Whoa, whoa, looks a scream. Hand him on my whoa, whoa, whoa. Andy Whoa, whoa, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name is Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Sarah Krajewski, she's a contemporary art curator at the Portland Art Museum, and Jaleesa Johnston, she's the programs lead in the Learning and Community Partnerships part of the Portland Art Museum. Thanks for doing KBOO Art Focus by Zoom.
Thanks for having us.
So Sarah, I want to talk about two things this week. One is the Reimagine Artist Fund from the Portland Art Museum, and the other is another artist fund called the Black Lives Matter Artist Grant Program from Jordan Schnitzer and his foundation. So these are two things that are giving money to artists to make art, and they're both in similar amounts of, you know, one is 25 grants of $2,000 in your case at the Portland Art Museum. Mm-hmm. His is 20 grants of $2,500 at his foundation. So tell me a bit about the Portland Art Museum one. It's called the Reimagine Artist Fund. What is it? What triggered it, and who is going to get the money, and what are they going to do with it?
Yeah, we have a three-phase program that we're calling the Reimagine Artist Fund. The first phase is comprised of relief grants. That's what you mentioned, the 25 grants of $2,000. And they are designated for visual artists, cinema artists, and new media artists. And it's administered by the Portland Art Museum and the Northwest Film Center. So we're joining forces to think broadly about who is an artist in our community. The grants are open to artists who work in those fields from across the state of Oregon, as well as Clark County, Washington. So we're thinking about this, about making a regional impact with our grant program. And the funds, you know, when the severity of the COVID crisis started to really emerge, several organizations in our community stepped forward to create these relief funds or to distribute funding to artists. So we're really pleased to join in those efforts and to continue to help artists at this time, because this crisis continues on and artists have been losing opportunities, losing financial opportunities because exhibitions are postponed or canceled, programs are postponed or canceled, or in the case of filmmakers, maybe screenings or productions have halted. So we feel it's really vital to take what resources we can provide and get them out into the arts ecosystem to do our part in helping to keep artists, to get money into the hands of artists.
Mm-hmm. Would you say this is for, you know, would the money go to an artist you've never heard of, or do they have to have a track record? Do they have to be local?
For us, for our grant program, for the relief effort, it is artists who are based, who live in Oregon or Clark County, Washington. And we designed our application process to be really straightforward. So we know that artists are, if they're seeking funding, that it's an exhausting process. So it's a pretty short application process. We just want to know that they're a committed practicing artist, and they need to provide one link to their, maybe it's to their website, to a gallery, to a social media account that can show us that they are practicing artists, and that so we expect, we hope we'll get many, many applications from artists that we don't know. We know there are lots of artists in this community and a lot of folks who are needing that extra help right now because of the economic crisis.
And Jaleesa, do you think the money for this relief fund, will it go to people who they're already doing okay and they can just use, you know, $2,000, or how do you assess need in this case?
For the first phase, the first set of applications, that is focused on people who are really in tough circumstances right now and really need the money. So it's not really meant to just be like a grant. That's what the second phase is for. The first phase is really looking for people who are in need. And that is something that we are currently working as a team to discuss. How are we assessing needs? Because everyone's needs are so different. But we're really just trying to be very mindful and very sensitive when looking through the applications and doing our best to consider everything and to consider all the circumstances. I think something that will be really helpful for us to assess need is that we're going to have a really awesome group of panelists that includes both the museum staff and Northwest Film Center staff, as well as arts workers and community members. But within that, I think what we're really trying to focus on is just making sure that we're really looking at, like, maybe artists that have lost opportunities because of COVID, like really looking to see who's really taken a huge hit and trying our best to support those artists that have taken a hit during this moment.
Mm-hmm. Is there any stipulation they have to spend the money on materials or rent or, you know, whatever?
No. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, no. We both say no. This is an unrestricted grant. This is for artists to use to pay the rent, pay for childcare. It's really for them. It's to help support them in dire financial, in a dire financial emergency.
Yeah. But if they did spend the money on rent, they still have to produce a piece of work at the end of it. Is that right?
Not for our grant fund. Nope. We're distributing the funds, and it's to be used as the artists see fit. There's no reporting back.
Mm-hmm. So they don't have to have a project ongoing that they can complete in a certain time and then show it to the museum somehow.
No, not for the first phase in particular. Definitely not. We're not really focusing on the artist's practice necessarily. We're really just wanting to make sure that people are getting need, very important need, just even for like basic living. For the second phase though, those are more sustainability, like practice sustaining grants. And so for that, while we're not looking for somebody to have a project in mind or to complete a certain project or to complete a certain work, we are taking into consideration their practice, their dedication to their practice, as well as the caliber of their work and how responsive they are to the current moment.
Okay, so this whole Reimagine Artist Fund is a three-phase process, and now you're talking about phase two, which you're calling the sustainability grant, and that's nothing to do with like recycled photocopier paper. This is sustainable, like keep making art kind of thing, stay in business, right? And those funds are 10 grants of $5,000.
Yes, that's correct.
Right. Yeah. So Jalisa, you were just saying that you take their career more into account for that phase. Could you say a bit more about how you imagine doing that?
Yes. So, and just to be a little more specific, we're not necessarily looking at, like we're not asking for a CV or a resume. We're not looking to see, you know, how many, you know, different accomplishments are on their CV. We're just more interested in the work that's being made, more interested in just seeing that this artist has a very dedicated practice that, and that looks different in many different ways. But we just want to see some sort of, ongoing practice to their work. And so we're focusing on that and then looking at the work and really just sort of wanting to hear more about artists right now. What are they working on now? What are they in need of right now? And how are they, again, like taking in the moment, the current moment that we're in with COVID and, you know, Black Lives Matter. And like, there's so much happening right now. It's such a sensitive time. And we're just interested in looking at artists who are being responsive to that sensitivity in whatever way they choose and finding ways to help support them with the sustainability grants.
Mm-hmm. So between the two of you, Sarah and Jalisa, you must have heard a lot in the last 3 or 4 months from artists about what they're going through. Can you just describe some of the typical problems that all this COVID has brought up, you know, in terms of it's hurt the economy and it means you can't go outside half the time, so we're not exactly exploring the world very much. So just tell us what the life of the artist has been like lately.
Speaking to a lot of my friends that are artists, that even within their practice, this moment is, it's been very different for a lot of people. For some people, it's been really difficult to make work. I mean, I have a number of friends that are questioning, what does it even mean to make art right now? Like, what is art even? Mm-hmm. And then I have other friends that it's actually, this moment's really generative. And made, like, I have friends that work in new media. Like, I'm thinking in particular about like Sarah Nanda, you know, Nanda and Sarah Turner, and they work on the mobile projection unit. And, you know, this moment, they're able to use their equipment. They have these large projectors mm-hmm. that they rigged on top of their cars, and they're able to do live projection showings around town.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and as a result, they've been able to show several films and, you know, they're able to amplify other new media artists and get their work up and out in a public space in a time when we can't really all go into galleries necessarily.
Yeah. Were they at the Juneteenth thing at Revolution Hall? Because of people projecting onto the school in these really bright, lasery lights, slogans and things, just from a laptop.
I'm not sure if that was them. I know that they've done, like, they showed Arresting Power. Like, they've done a few different like film showings. They mm-hmm. did a series recently last week that it was called Here Now, I believe. Oh no, Been Here, I'm sorry. Been Here. And that was a Black film festival showing that was curated by Ariella Tai, and Ariella Tai is a Portland-based new media artist as well. Mm-hmm. And so they were, mobile projection unit helped to support that by showing work. But like for them, this moment has been quite generative. They've been able to really help amplify other artists' voices and you know, other artists have taken advantage of the working on the internet and, you know, like working through Zoom or working through a digital mm-hmm. platform. So this moment is just unfolded very differently for a wide, like over a wide spectrum of possibilities for artists. And I think in our fund, what we're really interested in doing is we're not necessarily interested in supporting one or the other. We want to support as many different experiences as possible. So whether you're able to make work and this is a generative moment for you, great. If it's not, if you're still thinking and like just sort of processing, that's okay too. We want to support that. Mm-hmm. We think that all of those phases are necessary and of value.
That's very broad-minded. I like that. The phase three is called, what's it called? Museum support?
The reimagining our work, yeah.
Reimagining? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, reimagining our work.
I'm going to cut that. What's it called? Reimagining what?
Reimagining our work.
So the third phase is called reimagining our work. So what's the museum looking to do there?
With this phase, this is a reaffirmation of how central artists are to the museum as collaborators. So we are committing to expanding our capacity to fund honoraria and stipends, inviting artists in for a range of opportunities to collaborate and co-create with us. So this might be a curatorial project. It could be a virtual residency like we are about to launch with the artist Malia Jensen. Featuring her film, video project, Nearer Nature, Worth Your Salt, and increasing artist services through the Northwest Film Center. So that's reimagining our work is how the museum and film center are taking this moment to affirm our values and centering artists within our programming in even deeper ways.
So you've had things like Apex, right, which takes in local artists and gives them space. Well, how is this going to be different?
Jaleesa, do you want to talk about artist talks? And
Well, I think one of the things about this phase, well, what's different is that, like we had just talked about for other artists, rethinking their practice in this moment, I think that this is also an important time for us as a museum, as an institution, to rethink how we are relating to and supporting artists within our community. And so we are offering, like we're able to offer things that we didn't have before. The digital residency that Sarah was just talking about is something that, I mean, not that it hasn't happened before ever, the museum has been around for a while, but that in recent times, it's something that we maybe haven't been able to give a lot of space that now we can, and now we can really put it as something, as a priority, creating a space like that and working very closely with artists more than we did before. I think also this moment has, for me, like I work with artist talks and I help to organize those. And we're rethinking artist talks and what does that mean and what does that look like and how can we reimagine that in this moment and how can we continue to serve artists?
There's only one way to do an artist talk, right? They stand awkwardly at the front of the room and talk. Have you found another way?
Well, I mean, while that is the general frame, different ways it can happen and take place. Before, our artist talks happened in the museum, in the galleries, and an artist would choose an artwork that they were really drawn to, or maybe they weren't drawn to it, maybe they didn't like it, but there's something about it that they want to talk about, and then they frame their whole discussion around that work and relate it to their practice in some way. And so now, because we can't really have a gathering of 10 to 20 people sitting in a small space in a gallery huddled around an artwork with an artist, we can't do that right now. So I'm working closely with my colleagues to rethink, you know, what can we do? Our artist talk was very specific. It had its own shape. And now we have to rethink what that shape will look like. So that's something that we're working on and we're partnering with different committees within the museum to make that happen. And that's really exciting. I think there's a lot of across department partnering that's happening for programs. And I think that opens up a lot of opportunity for artists as well to connect with many different people and to have different spaces. I think another thing that's happening just in terms of talking about partnering, in addition to working with artists, like artists in the traditional sense that you're thinking of, we're also working with other community partners that are involved in the arts. So for example, we are currently in partnership with The Numbers, and they're an all Black radio station. And we had began partnership with them during the Hank Willis Thomas exhibition. And so now, in this moment, during this time of COVID and social distancing, you know, we're leaning into each other, the museum and The Numbers, to really think about what our partnership could look like and what we could offer. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that this reimagining phase for me is, and I think not just me, but for all of us that are, that helped put this together, everyone at the museum, this is a moment for us to really think about the sensitivity of COVID and the arts ecosystem, but also beyond COVID. I just think this is a really ripe opportunity to shift and change things. And I think we're trying to take advantage of that. And we're trying to really learn and grow. I think, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't hurt to learn and try things out.
Yeah, I talked to Brian Fariso yesterday, and he said, he's the director of the Portland Art Museum. And he said, we want to be more relevant. We want to be relevant. And being relevant today is different from what it was just 10 years ago. So is this part of that kind of relevancy you're talking about?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, not only has COVID changed our world, but also the movement for Black lives and the reckoning that institutions are facing because of systemic racism and, you know, looking at our role in supporting that and supporting white supremacy culture. So for the Portland Art Museum to reimagine our work at this moment is really wide ranging. And so we're building upon our partnerships. We are looking to ways that we can have that relevancy within the community in ways that we have been, we haven't been addressing, and that we're working towards building that what a new vision for a museum could be.
My name's Joseph Galliman. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Sarah Krajewski, the contemporary art curator at the Portland Art Museum, and Jaleesa Johnston, the programs lead in the learning and community partnerships part of the Portland Art Museum. And they were talking about the Reimagine Artist Fund from the Portland Art Museum, which launched July 7th. Thanks very much for doing KBOO.
Thank you.
This week, I also went to see Jordan Schnitzer, the art lover and philanthropist, son of the late Arlene Schnitzer. He has put together the Black Lives Matter Artist Grant Program, which launches July 27th, and it consists of 20 grants for artists of $2,500 each.
We first discussed this, I'd say, approximately a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And why? Well, two things. I've grown up with art since the time I was born and started collecting art when I was 14. Now, over the years that I've collected art, I've bought art by many artists, many of which have been artists of color. And more importantly, when I became very aggressive in building up a significant private contemporary print collection of post-World War II artists, some of the most important work that's been done in the last 50 years, and especially the last 25, have been by artists of color. I've said artists are always chroniclers of our time. They're always the one forcing us to deal with issues of our time.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the big picture right now is if we go forward 20 or 30 years and we ask historians and sociologists to talk about the 2000s, and what the most important shifts were in this country and around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But in this country, it will be that people of color, ethnically, racially, whatever, came more into their own, decades too late, but as an important and equal part of society.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the artist, big theme for the artist is that transformation. So with the Black Lives Matter, we've been a proponent of Black Lives Matter, and more importantly, we've been a proponent of all lives matter, but of racial and gender equity for decades.
Mm-hmm.
So this is nothing new in terms of the focus of the collection. So we've been buying artists that hit hard with those themes. So, for instance, with Kara Walker, we started buying her work in the early 90s. She's now the most important African-American black artist in the country. Well, we had back in the 90s, we had an exhibition of her work. It was in 2000s that went to, this was 2004, 2014, 15, 16. We had her show go to 8 museums.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved Kara Walker's work from the beginning because it just struck you with a force of making you look in a mirror, in essence, at one's own values and how we all end up stereotyping and making judgments, even those of us who don't feel we have any prejudice or racial or gender biases. We all do. And the role of artists is to force us to deal with our own issues and understanding ourselves and society around us.
Jordan Schnitzer said the grant applications will be assessed at the three universities where he has his museums. That's the U of O, Portland State, and Washington State. And they'll be assessed not just by arts faculty, but by other faculty from the humanities and other groups. And then he talked about the limits for the artists.
I think it'll be whatever they want to do. Some people will make some art and submit the art and say, here, this is what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
Others will say, gee, I want to do a street thing of like this. Or others will say, I want to make a sculpture like this, and we need the money to help buy the the materials. Whatever works for them. And then they will make the tough judging decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully when things open up more, these museums are opening up now, they'll allocate a 30-day period where the works will be shown. Or if it's street work, they'll figure out how to do it in the street, and maybe this will also will fund maybe some symposiums about the work and have the artists talk about it and in the university newspapers or whatever it is to help get that message out. Now, one person said, well, should we limit this to artists of color? I said, no, that would almost be discriminating. What we want is artists, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And again, artists are chroniclers of our time. As we're reaching out to them and saying, help us. Help us in the way that you as artists have always helped society deal with issues of our time.
Mm-hmm.
How do we deal with the anguish of seeing that? How do we deal with the stereotypes we have in communities? How do we deal with the brutality we've seen by some policemen? How do we deal with the brutality of some of the protesters? How do we deal with how do we help make a difference? Lead us, artists. Lead us and help us heal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited to see what comes out of it. And I think it will be hopefully provocative, painful, exciting, confusing, all the themes we can think of.
Mm-hmm. I see the deadlines. Are you expecting a certain body of work to be viewable by a certain time next year?
I think
for an exhibition?
I think we want to have some flexibility there, and that's why we're saying they have 90 days to submit whatever they want to submit. If it's a concept they want to submit, if it's an actual piece of work they want to submit, let's not lessen the flexibility, and we could spend 6 months trying to write all the criteria. I'd rather get it out and get it going, and then manage by exception. If some artist calls in and says, boy, what if, then maybe say fine, then take longer, less, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The key is not limiting their expression. We want to hear the artist's voice. about this theme.
My name's Joseph Galliman. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week were Sarah Krajewski and Jaleesa Johnston from the Portland Art Museum and Jordan Schnitzer. And they were talking about new grants available for artists during the time of COVID and Black Lives Matter.
Think about painting, to think about glue, what a jolly boring thing to do.
Andy Warhol, let's just scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all. Andy Warhol, let's just scream, hang him on my wall.
Estás escuchando KBOO Portland.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Esta es una sección especial en español en respuesta a la